Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am here with Ben Solak, no longer in spirit. Now we are in the same room. Well, I guess we could still be, you know.
Not in spirit.
Podcast partners in spirit. But now we're also physically in the same room because both of us are here in Nashville, Tennessee for, this little event called the 2019 NFL Draft.
May have heard of it.
Don't know if you guys have ever heard of it before, but it's pretty neat. You should check it out. Ben and I are here to recap day one of the draft.
Dude, I tweeted in the afternoon, I just can't shake the feeling that this round one is going to be bananas.
And what was it, bananas?
It was Cocoa Puffs, man. It was out of this world. I mean...
I didn't know if Cocoa Puffs was more bananas or...
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, okay. See, I missed that. I missed the in-between.
Yeah, the steps. I mean, we made it to four before the universe was like, what if everything you thought you knew about drafts was a lie? And then we went off to the races.
Well, I mean, there wasn't too much time before the draft here on Thursday that... I mean, okay, let me just say this. Did you ever believe that Kyler wasn't going number one overall?
I believed there was a chance he wouldn't go number one overall up until the draft, which there was. You know what I mean? Like, I think that we reached a clear point in March where he became the clear favorite.
Yes.
Where he became the leading horse. But as we knew, and as I think a lot of people alluded to, there was always a faction of the Cardinals, no matter how big, how small, no matter who led it, that wanted Quinnen Williams. And that like, you know, whether or not the decision was done 2 days ago or 2 hours before the draft or whatever, I mean, the fact that the Cardinals did not offload Josh Rosen indicates that at least among the league for 31 other teams, there was the belief that this was a long bluff that they could call. And so I don't think it was ever fully decided. So I always lived with that shadow of a doubt. I put Kyler not at one in my final mock draft for the Huddle Report because, you know, the best way to win that is to be able to hit a good score on a surprise pick. And so I went for that. But, you know, at the end of the day, when it came 10 minutes out, I said, yeah, it's probably Kyler at one. And it was.
Yeah, I didn't really waver too much from the Kyler thing. If Kyler was at any point the option, then he was the only option, right? You're talking about drafting a quarterback number one overall, and you don't just like go back from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you need a quarterback to get rid of Rosen?
Which we still sit here.
Well, yeah, they can't. They're not going to get rid of Rosen.
I have no idea. Like, what are we doing, Trevor? What are we doing?
I ask myself that question all the time. I don't know.
They couldn't. They didn't offload Rosen. They still selected Kyler. They tried to offload him throughout the entire draft. By the time they reached the end of round one, the general sentiment among like insiders and pundits, you know, on the broadcasts were nobody is willing to send Jack Diddley squat for Rosen because there's no reason to.
Yeah.
Now, I would argue that there is a reason to, you know, do it instead of, I don't know, hypothetical, spending six on Daniel Jones. I know it's crazy, but hypothetically, if a team was going to spend six on Daniel Jones, then it would make a lot more sense to, you know, trade a late pick
right,
for Rosen.
Right,
Cardinals, who now have absolutely no leverage and need to get rid of this guy.
Right.
But obviously, this is purely hypothetical.
Of course, yeah. So let's fast forward to number six overall, where the Giants, in fact, did select Daniel Jones.
Oh, that's right.
That actually
completely
happened. What did you think of the Giants draft? Because you had Daniel Jones going at number six. You had Dexter Lawrence at 17. I thought that was a little bit of a stretch. And then DeAndre Baker ended up being their pick at the very end of the first round when they traded back in. What I mean, just from somebody who roots for another team in the NFC East,
right.
What are your thoughts here?
The only bad thing about the Giants picking Daniel Jones is that it prevented the Redskins from picking Daniel Jones.
You're such an idiot.
Listen, there were two teams that were going to take Daniel Jones in this class. It was either going to be the Giants or the Redskins. And I was sitting there when this was coming into clarity on like Wednesday, I was sitting there and I was like, as an Eagles fan, this news literally could not get any better. They're going to be fighting over Jones. And that's actually not what ended up happening. The fact that
you know what? I don't think they ever were fighting over Jones.
I
really don't.
I know there was a part of Washington that wanted Daniel,
but I don't think it was the part of Washington that actually was close to making a decision.
Right.
I really don't think so. I think that it was Haskins all along for Washington. I think that it was no quarterback at all for Miami. I think that it was Daniel Jones all along for the Giants. And that's why Drew Lock sits here as we speak, not drafted. because he wasn't one of those guys. Yeah. And it was such a weird draft because going into the draft, what was it, the last 3 years or something, where no quarterback had been taken in the first round without a team trading up to go get him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Other than Baker Mayfield, but he went number one overall, so he can't get any higher than number one overall. And yet in this draft,
yep,
three quarterbacks went.
And then you have Kyler's the number one exception.
None of them were trade ups.
Right.
So that then really confuses me there. Because if you want a quarterback, if you're going to draft a quarterback, why are you not trading up to get them?
Right. So I think it is laudable for the teams who were able to sit and play a bit of a long game of chicken there through 6 and through 15 and say, listen, we all have our guy that we want. Nobody trade up, and we won't have to start doing trade-ups. And it's not for want of trying. You know, the Jets ran the clock all the way down at 3. The Raiders ran the clock all the way down at 4. The Lions took the clock pretty deep at 8. You know, like these teams were willing to go as long as possible at these spots trying to get teams to trade up, and just nobody bit because everybody figured the price would be low enough. And remember, what did you have in your back pocket in this draft that you didn't have from other drafts? The potential of sending a late second
a pocket
for Josh
knife.
Rosen. No. A knife!
A knife! No! So, Joe got to witness that Vine reference in unison. Yeah, I just think the way that it played out was just not the way that I thought it was going to play out. Like, we could all sit here in February and March and do mock drafts and go, okay, there's no trades in this mock draft. And then we could go, oh, the Washington Redskins are going to take Dwayne Haskins. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. You're talking about a potential need. You're getting a prospect on somebody's radar. You're thinking about possibilities. But in all reality, if you're about to pick a quarterback, and Washington is the very last team that really needed a quarterback,
right.
Miami's ahead of them, Cincinnati's ahead of them, Denver's ahead of them, certainly the Giants are ahead of them. How are you sitting at 15? Okay, because at this point now, I wonder what kind of confidence you have in the pick that you just made. Because if this is a guy that you are picking in the first round to be your franchise quarterback,
then you're willing to trade
up
for him.
How are you staying at 15? There's no. You really think your intel is that good that you know for a fact nobody's taken him before you?
Right. Well, I think number one, you sit there with Haskins and Locke available, and you say, okay, well, we've got, you know, two options here, which is nice. The other thing is, I think very much so the Redskins were willing to move picks up, and the reason I believe that is because they moved 46 and a 2020. Third, I want to say.
For Montez at the end of the...
For Montez,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
So they, like, if you look at it from an umbrella perspective, the Redskins used 15, 46, and I think it was a 2023rd, might be a 2022nd, to draft high-impact edge rusher with double-digit sack potential and potential starting quarterback, franchise quarterback. And so who cares which one you had to trade up for, you know what I mean? Like, if you just look at it from that wide perspective, I thought the Redskins had a killer draft, even though I don't love Haskins that much, because addressed the most important position on offense, the most important position on defense with first-round picks without giving up King's ransom when you look at it from a holistic perspective.
Sure.
So I find that. But I agree with you very much so in that it was an interesting draft. I think this draft, more so than other previous ones, at least you're talking round one, obviously, it's very easy to trace some... some of the Newton's cradles, you know, like the little marbles running down the hill. At 4, the Raiders won't go Josh Allen because he's represented by the same agent that represented Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. And so then Allen drops to 7.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, well, this is
it's
the disagreement.
Just so dumb.
So Allen,
and it's true.
It's 100%.
That's literally true.
Yep.
Do you think if Josh Allen was represented by anybody else, he'd be a Raider?
I mean, I don't know that, but what I
but
know is...
But do you think so?
Sure, why not? I mean, he's a great player. Now, he drops to 7, so the Jaguars snag him up, which means Jonah Williams falls to 11, which means the Bengals snag him up, which means that Andre Dillard starts to free fall, and all of a sudden Philadelphia's moving up to 22 to get him. Houston wanted Dillard. They wanted to potentially grab him. Philadelphia's able to snipe
instead,
him right out.
And
they
instead,
take Tytus Howard.
They take Tytus
and,
mother freaking Howard.
And that's how Tytus Howard gets into the first round.
Unbelievable,
because the Raiders won't draft Allen at 4.
Where was Howard ranked on your board? Do you know?
Oh, not good. One, the number started with a 1.
And you rank 200 guys, right?
Yes.
Because I rank 200 guys as well, and I know that Howard was in the, is it 125 to 150 range?
He was
like,
after 150
bad,
for me. Listen, I just want to, like, take a moment. Let's all gather ourselves. Let's all prepare and just be ready. Tytus Howard is a first rounder and DK Metcalf isn't. How did we convince ourselves? How did the league, how did 32 teams pull off Tytus Howard is a first rounder and DK Metcalf isn't? How do you do that?
I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
The league is terrified of players whose ceilings they already see. If you have limitations in your game at all, they are terrified of you. And when teams look at DK Metcalf, what they see is a guy who is it doesn't even matter how dominant this man is in a linear fashion, right? Vertical, explosiveness, running in a straight line, any kind of like vertical linear concepts in his routes, dominant man. I mean, like, this dude is a freak of nature. It doesn't matter because his agility drill sucked and his route tree isn't, you know, all nine routes of whatever he could run. So what? So what that he dominates the four routes that he can run so well?
Right, which are four of the most fundamental and important routes.
Who cares, though, right? Because you know his limitation. The thing with Tytus Howard is you just go, oh, who knows what he could be?
Listen, the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat.
It could even be a boat.
It could even be DK Metcalf.
You know how much we've... Hey, Tytus Howard could be a very high-impact player, okay? He could even be DK Metcalf.
Exactly.
So you got to take Tytus Howard.
You got to see if you can invest in that.
That pick was obviously.
And it goes back to coaching hubris, in my opinion. Like, you know, you think that you can make something out of all of these project players, and that's why you draft them, because you want to be a part of them becoming hitting that ceiling, you know, that you can't really see.
Why don't you just do that with DK?
Listen, why not just draft DK and throw him the football? Here's what I know.
Just draft DK and put him at right tackle. He'd be better than Tytus Howard.
But listen to me. You know who has the first. Is the first pick in the beginning of round two.
Is it the Cardinals?
It's the Arizona Cardinals. You know who needs a dominant X receiver?
So I was told by our resident insider.
Source.
That the Cardinals were trying to trade up to the 32nd pick to pick N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, and the Patriots were like, no, we're going to draft him and make him actually good. Because that's the Patriot way, baby.
That's the new Patriot way. Yeah. All right, we've talked about some picks that we don't really like. What is a pick that really stands out to you that you like?
Quietly, because I think it happened in the middle of a lot of nonsense and hullabaloo. Brian Burns going
sixth. What?
Nonsense and hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo. Brian Burns at 16 to the Panthers. That's Italian chef kiss right there.
Listen, I mean, it's the best pick in the draft.
Right. Which,
right?
Which, I mean, like,
it's the best pick in the draft. I'm not saying he's the best player, but
right.
Brian Burns at 16 is the best pick in the draft.
I'm not really into go there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coward.
Yeah, it's a good point. I didn't think about it like that. Thanks for sharing. Buffalo 9 at Oliver really stands out as a fantastic pick as well.
I did love that pick.
But you're looking at a team. Julius Peppers retires. Mario Addison is the primary pass rusher there. Flirts around 8-9 sacks a season. Good pass rusher. Bigger style rusher. They need the opposite speed guy. Burns falls to them. Immediate fit in the 4-3. 9 technique. Go to town. And it's great because when you look at 16, you say, all right, I like Burns. I like the fit. I like the need. It all makes sense. I wonder if there's still going to be tackles around for them when you know it comes back to them in round two. Well, now we finish round one, and Juwan Taylor, obviously medical worries are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Ford still available. Dalton Reisner still available. Listen, Cody Ford makes a lot of sense. League views him as a big guard, day two guard.
Stupid.
Yep. Well, listen, they did the same thing to Taylor Moten.
Stupid.
The Panthers were very glad to grab Moten on day two, and they made him into a starting tackle. Do the exact same
thing
with Ford.
Wow, crazy. Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine a good tackle in college.
Imagine a good tackle staying a good tackle.
Shocking. It could be anything. It could even be a boat.
What'd you think of the Devin Bush trade?
Oh, yeah.
Steelers moving up. I really like that one.
Yeah, I think that's I don't want to say a rare both teams win, but there is, I think, value for both teams. The Steelers desperately needed to add somebody to the interior of the defense to create... I don't want to say something like, replace Ryan Shazier, like leadership that Ryan Shazier bring, because it's just... It doesn't feel right. Like, Ryan Shazier is just a different breed, right? But you need to be able to signify that, all right, we have a young player, and we're moving on from Ryan Shazier and what he meant to this team, because we have to, because you have to move on. And so Bush brings that, I mean, character, you know, up to his ears in it. And then obviously it's the sideline to sideline range, which is going to be reminiscent of a player like Shazier. He's a fantastic tackler, ton of fun. And then I think the Broncos had bigger needs than Noah Fant, but at 20, he's good value. He immediately steps in. Let's not forget, the new offensive coordinator for Vic Fangio is Rich Scangarello. Now, he comes as Shanahan's quarterbacks coach over the last two seasons at San Fran. George Kittle, I don't know if you heard, had really nice yak
have
seasons.
Have never heard of him.
Had really not great once. Run after catch seasons there for San Fran. If you can get a little bit of that out of Noah Fant, that's really great news for him.
I think it can be a real big win, this move back, even though I think that Denver didn't get a lot in return from moving 10 spots from number 10 to number 20. Mm-hmm. But I know Denver was trying to trade up into that, also into that Patriots pick. It wouldn't have been for N'Keal Harry. I don't know who it was
Drew Locke
for.
Is what I would guess.
Oh, yeah, perhaps
trying
Drew Locke.
To get that fifth
but
year option.
Here's also what I'm saying about the Broncos, and I will start to really, really like their draft at the top if this happens.
Right.
I think Byron Murphy needs to be a Denver Bronco because Chris Harris is not going to be on that team. They're trading him. And right. I don't know what they're trading him for. I know there's some things on the table for them to get a very good player back in return for him. Perhaps that is it. But if that's not the case, I think Byron Murphy's got to be a Denver Bronco.
I don't hate it at all. And, I mean, we're at a point right now where one corner went off the board. DeAndre Baker, the player we all expected.
Nope.
You know, the one who had a weak pre-draft process.
Big nope.
Who had poor, you know,
big
training
nope.
for the combine. I don't know. You know what I mean? The Giants made the pick. I have no idea what it means. But you've got Greedy, Rocky Sin, and Byron, all
yeah.
still available.
Imani as well.
Yeah, and obviously, and like you know, I put Yasin in there because we know the league likes him. But you also have, I think, quality players in like an Imani Adewale, a Julian Love,
sure.
who are still available. It's a great. It's corners, offensive tackles, and wide receivers, baby. Those are the three positions. I'm coming into round two, and I'm saying, listen, we're gonna go get ourselves a starter.
You're coming in guns blazing
at one of these three spots because the positional strength is there.
Day three is gonna get real, or day two is gonna get really interesting for me because. Especially from this spot, I think the Patriots really wanted Noah Fant, and I think that they were one pick away from Noah Fant being theirs, because if the Broncos don't trade back, and if they don't pick up Fant at 20, Fant would have been available at 21, Seattle was looking to move back,
yep.
New England's got a crap ton of picks that they had to move, I think they would have jumped up and got Noah Fant. Now, instead, New England stayed where they were, uh-huh. Pick N'Keal Harry, and now they have 2 second-round picks and 3 third-round picks in this year's draft.
Right.
What are they doing tomorrow? I think they're going to be heavy movers. They're going to be.
They're going to have enough room on a very, very good roster.
No.
To draft all
You've
these players,
got,
put
they've
them on.
Got. They literally have to trade
yeah.
up, or those draft picks right. are going to be worthless anyway.
Well, what do we know about the Patriots? They always have a super small
they win.
Board. But that's true. They always have a super small board. So when they start getting to a point where their draft picks just aren't conferring value because they're just running out of players on their board they want to draft,
yeah.
I mean, they just start trading 2019 capital and turning it into 2020 capital.
Mm.
They'll walk into 2020 with more draft picks than anybody else, and they'll just keep doing the same thing. And that's what you can do when you have a head coach who can make 5th, 6th, 7th round picks into meaningful contributors, right? You can be that frugal of spenders. So, I mean, Patriots being big, heavy movers. The Seattle Seahawks, you came in with 2 first-round picks. Because you traded away your 15 sack a season potential young 25-year-old edge in Frank Clark,
mm-hmm.
and to get it to show for it, you gave us 2 trade downs and LJ Collier. What? How dare you? How dare you?
It's just not
this
a
team
great...
has got this team signed Russell
and I don't
Wilson.
Understand how LJ Collier went into Pete Carroll's like hint video.
Yeah, I don't get that either. This team signed Russell Wilson in the offseason, and that is the only thing from keeping this to be a disastrous and demonstrably worse team than it was last season. I don't understand it. I don't understand why LJ Collier is a first-rounder. They need to do more in day two, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure they're going to address some of the secondary issues. I'm sure they're going to get, like I said, another wide receiver and corner are big positions on round two. But just Seattle, I don't. You made Russell Wilson the highest-paid player. Help him.
Yeah.
Offensive line, wide receivers, stop getting big defensive linemen who aren't going to work out well for you. You already had Rasheem Green on the roster. You didn't
right.
need to get him again.
Right.
With a higher pick.
It's
Jiminy Christmas.
Jiminy Christmas. It's kind of weird how things work out. You know, we took it a lot. I can't really
That's
talk.
That's a good point, Trevor.
We don't really
I didn't think about the draft that way before.
We have, we were running on a super low amount of sleep. So you're gonna have to work with me there. I think it's interesting the guys who are left. I think it's gonna be a really interesting day too because I think there are a lot of teams that need to move. There's mm-hmm. some picks that need to be traded. There's some teams that need those extra picks, and there's those teams that need to have picks go away and they need to become more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a really interesting day too. There's a lot of really good players left, especially in the offensive line and the cornerback position. Certainly, I'm interested to see when does the run on running back start. When do we start? I mean, DK and Hakeem Butler are still on the board. Like, tons of really good wide receivers are still on the board as well. Obviously, it's a heavy tight end class. The defensive line, I think, went as much as we kind of expected it to, as did the linebackers. I'm not expecting there to be a big run on linebackers after that. But safety as well, I think. Safety, we had Darnell Savage and John Abram go in the first round, and guys like, you know, Amani Hooker, Nasir Adderley, Chauncey Garner-Johnson, they were left waiting here going into day two. So there's a lot of names left on the board. We got to explaining a couple of teams here on this podcast, but as we go on the next couple of podcasts, we're going to be bringing up other teams' names and doing more of draft recaps for them as opposed to just singular picks. So we'll talk plenty about those first-round picks as we go on and as we have more podcasts. But until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.